This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
I don't even know what to say. They hung on to win that football game. They shouldn't have hung on to win that football game, if we're being honest. Thank God for Carl Brooks. As he had written up the loss tweet. I was over here getting all the loss imaging ready to go when Carlos Santos walked onto the field. I thought they were screwed. I'm guessing you all thought they were screwed. Apparently not. It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express, as we broadcast from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. And the Green Bay Packers somehow, someway win 20-19 over the Chicago Bears. I couldn't even imagine being a Bears fan right now. I couldn't even imagine. That is 11 losses in a row. The Bears had never lost 11 in a row at any point to the Packers in the history of these two organizations playing each other. The offense for the Bears got going thanks to Caleb Williams running all over the damn place throughout this game. It got going because the Packers couldn't stop the ground game to save their lives. And yet, the Packers get the win. Nicolay Law fan talk and text line, let's go. Let's hear what you got. I'm assuming probably most of it's negative, even though they won. That's okay. If you need a vent after a win, we can do that too. If you want to celebrate, we can celebrate. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Somehow, some way, they figure out how to win the game. I just saw LaFleur like absolutely going crazy on Carl Brooks on the field. That is amazing. I got a quick little nugget that not even Tommy Wirtz may know. I heard it on The Score. So Friday, we were at the Brat Bowl at the Brat Stop, 670 The Score, and us. Thanks to everybody that came out and was a part of it. Truly do appreciate it. And, of course, Ziegler Subaru of Kenosha being the title sponsor of it. Thank you so much to them for being a part of it. Potawatomi Sportsbook for being a sponsor as well. Thanks to them. So I turn on The Score after I leave. Tommy Wirtz, crazy takes. Did you know that George McCaskey
the guy that runs the Bears, carries around Packers urinal cakes and drops them into urinals around Chicago whenever he goes out to the restaurants or to the bars or whatever the case may be. Did you know that was a thing?
I did not.
I was amazed by it. And they talked about it on the Score like it was common knowledge. I had no idea. So that gives you an idea of how badly the McCaskies hate the Packers and want to beat the Green Bay Packers. And in this situation here, a huge Carl Brooks block of a field goal, the Packers win, the Bears lose. And the immediate emotion is excitement and happiness, and you're fired up. The bad part about all of this is that there are so many things to be mad about watching this football game, Tommy.
There is a lot to be mad about. I have yet to come down from the high still at the end of the game.
I still can't believe they won.
That is up there with Richard Rodgers' Hail Mary right there with me right now, it feels like. Yeah, there's definitely a lot to be mad about. There's definitely a lot. There's things to be mad about on the offensive side, the defensive side. And if you told me special teams is going to be the reason why they won this game,
yes,
that would have definitely really favored the Bears.
How
right?
about it? Here's the highlight, courtesy of Fox 6, Carl Brooks with the block. Can I just say something? Like, it is so funny to me. That's how they won the damn game. Again, just think about this. Just sit back and think about this. Jordan Love threw another damn red zone interception. And this time it wasn't a bad decision. He just sailed it. And the DB caught it at like the goal line. So that was horrible. Pass rush, they didn't get much of it all day to the last drive for the Bears. And then they had him at 3rd and 19 and couldn't hold him on two possessions or on two plays. So they convert that and march right down the field on your defense. So you overcame that. You overcame the fact that Caleb Williams ran around like Michael Vick today against you. And you had no answer of apparently how to stop him. You just kept letting him do it play after play after play. In the first half of this game, do you realize, on average, when Caleb Williams threw the ball in the first half of the game, do you realize the ball was traveling less than 2 yards in the air in the first half? The ball traveled less than 2 yards in the air on average for Caleb Williams when he threw the ball in the first half. Packers? Hello? I don't know exactly what the game plan was or what we were trying to do, and we all know I like Jeff Hafley. But man, there was some stuff going on today. Jair Alexander hurt his knee. Street clothes. We had a topic on the show yesterday during the Broad Bowl. Which athlete is the most frustrating, not yesterday, but Friday. Most frustrating Wisconsin athlete. Your choices were Chris Middleton, Jair Alexander, and Christian Yelich. As expected, Chris Middleton ran away with it. But folks, if Jair Alexander can't stay on the field, it's going to be tough on Jeff Hafley to be aggressive going after the quarterback when you've got to rely on Carrington Valentine and Keyshawn Nixon to cover wide receivers. And I don't know, maybe Keyshawn Nixon's neck doesn't work correctly. Maybe he's got a stiff neck. He never looks for the ball. Never, ever, ever does a guy ever turn his head to look for the ball. I do not get it. And Valentine, again, he used to be aggressive. Not anymore. Now he lets the guy catch the ball, and then we run up and we try to tackle the guy. There's no more aggressiveness in Carrington Valentine.
Have you mentioned that Matt LaFleur tried to give this game away in a coaching disaster in the last 3 minutes of this game?
Oh, I was we haven't got calls. To that yet.
All right.
We haven't got
just
to
saying
that
yet. They overcame that as well, too.
Yes.
So
there is so much that was wrong for this Packers team.
Yeah.
Against this Bears team. And to somehow, some way, figure out a way to still win the game. Sometimes you need a little magic. Sometimes you need a little pixie dust
to win a football game. They got him today. Kyle Brooks got his butt up in the air, blocked that kick by Cairo Santos at Soldier Field in Chicago. Those poor Bear fans, could you imagine the conversations they were having walking out of that stadium today? Could you imagine how mad they must be walking out of that stadium today? Woo! It's too bad. Really, heart goes out to them. Not really. It is the Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line. Let's go. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Q, you're next here on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express here on The Fan. What's up, Q?
Sparky, what a nice win. I don't know what bear down means and why they say it, but that must be what it is. It's like they just find new and interesting ways to lose games, even at home. I'm going to give the defense a free pass today because they were going up against a brand new offensive coordinator. I'm not an expert, but I'm guessing most of what we saw today wasn't on tape. So I'm a little more concerned with the offense's woes in the red zone. In the first half, they put up the stat that we ranked 29th in the red zone as an offense. That's terrible.
They've had
Q,
going into the game today, they had 18 penalties in the red zone in 9 games. 18 penalties. That's like two per game in the red zone. That's a lot to try to overcome.
Yeah, and I found myself like wincing once we got close to the goal line, which is not how it's supposed to be. It used to be automatic. So hopefully we can clean that up with a big matchup against the Niners next week. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm pretty excited, and I can't wait for next week when we I think ticket prices are over almost $300 for next week. It's the game of the year next week in Green Bay.
I don't feel like it's going to look like that, but we'll see what happens. Q, thanks for the call. I'm sorry. I have a hard time getting excited about playing the Niners after they barely were able to get by the Bears, after they barely won the game by getting a blocked field goal. Now you got to go play this Niners team. Again, they haven't played great this year either, right? This isn't the dominant NFC team that has been, but they get Christian McCaffrey back. They're starting to get dudes back and play, and so we'll see. I don't even want to think about that right now. I just want to focus right now on this Packers win over the Bears thanks to a blocked field goal by Kyle Brooks to win this thing 20-19, right? Let's just keep it right here and see where everybody's at on this one. Now, if we just look at this from the perspective of, okay, what were some of the positives before? Because there's more negatives than positives. What were some of the positives? Dude, that first drive was money. I mean, they were slicing and dicing. Jacobs, Wilson, didn't matter. They ran it right down their throat. And after they scored that opening touchdown, I tweeted out from Sparky Radio. I said, let's hope they don't forget to run the football the next drive after they ran it so effectively that drive. And, as always, there are moments where you're letting Jordan Love throw 3, 4, 5, 6 times in a row, whatever the case may be. And I get it. You played him a lot of money. You believe he's one of the best in the NFL. Or you better say you believe that because you paid him money like you believe he's one of the best in the NFL. And you're going to let him do his thing. He made some good throws today. He did. He made the one horrible throw that sailed. But outside of that, I thought Jordan Love played fairly well today. Yes or no, Tommy?
I do agree. I do agree that he played pretty well. The interception was just very freak for him. That one was very, very obviously on him. I did think that the double coverage Christian Watson throw could be up in the air on whether or not you thought it was a smart throw or not. Yep. But, I mean, he's done it multiple times now this year, so he's obviously got the confidence to make those throws. So that's got to be worth something. I also really, I think that if they're not, they gave the ball to Josh Jacobs 18 times today, right? Which is right around where, is it a lot of touches or is it not, right?
I always look for around 20 to 25 touches between catches and runs. Like to be at around 25. Me personally, everybody's got their own number.
So if you count his catches, it's 22. He caught four balls today.
So that's right where you want it to be.
If they don't want to run the ball with Josh Jacobs every time and they just refuse to run the ball if it's not with Josh Jacobs, every time Emmanuel Wilson is in the game, I feel like he's making plays too, whether he's pass blocking, going out for some sort of catch. He runs the ball way better than Chris Brooks does.
Yes.
I think he's been getting a very short stick this last month or so with the Packers. You know, everyone was excited for Marshawn Lloyd until his appendectomy or whatever it was, right?
Dude, it's always something all year.
I love Emmanuel Wilson on this team, too. And LaFleur just does not want to run the ball unless it's Josh Jacobs getting the ball.
I look at this, and because I was seeing people, Malik Willis. At least if Malik Willis was in there, he'd still be running the football. Sure, he would be. But the defense would also be playing completely different if he was in there as well. Because they're going to dare Malik Willis to throw the football against you at that point. With Christian Watson, regardless of the fact that he keeps throwing interceptions, and, you know, I don't want to bring up the Badgers. The Badgers have a backup quarterback throwing interceptions every game, costing them. And now you have the Packers starting quarterback throwing interceptions every game. And it's getting frustrating to watch, obviously, from a Packer fan perspective. But this is your guy, folks. Like, you could say whatever you want, and you can be mad and all that, but this is your guy for the next several years. He's going nowhere. So you can either hop on the train and be like, okay, we're going to have to overcome a pick most weeks, or you could just completely jump off the train and root for the guy to fail and be horrible for 5 years so you can tell everybody you're right. Everybody could take their own, however you want to go about this as a fan.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think he's at fault for how close this game was. I don't blame Jordan Love for that today. I don't think he's at the top of the list, at least.
I mean, if we're being honest, that was a huge momentum shift because they went and took a long drive down the field and scored after that.
Yes.
You score that, that's 14-3. This game probably isn't as close as what it ended up being.
Matt LaFleur needs to go back to the drawing board inside the red zone. It's a problem right now. The pass rush, while, yeah, the last drive was the most effective, it didn't even matter. They didn't get home on the third down play, which they absolutely should have. I don't know. I didn't quite see who missed it on that one, but just not acceptable to not get that sack on third down.
That was Ngabare.
And on
That's
top of
who
it,
went over the top of Caleb Williams.
You got to figure out what this cornerback room's got to do differently if Jair's not there. Because I know, like, for instance, Andy Herman, Packaday Radio, loves Valentine. I don't think he does anything that jumps off the page for me. Every time Keyshawn Nixon has to cover anything other than the slot, it seems like he's getting torched or not turning his head. They should have made a move for some sort of secondary, you know, corner. It shouldn't have been like the Marshawn Lattimore deal or anything like that. But man, like a Greg Newsome on this team or something, you know, somewhere in that 80th percentile, like would have been awesome. Would have been awesome for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And they decided not to go that way, obviously. Whether or not they regret it, I don't know. What I do know is when you talk about this Packers defense and what's going to make it great or not, it's going to be the defensive line, folks. It's going to be Rashawn Gary. It's going to be Cox, who had two big plays today, right? Had a big stop in the backfield on a run. He was the only one that had a sack up until that last drive for the Packers, for the Bears. He was the only one. So having him out there, he's got to consistently kind of be that guy. Van Ness at some point has to show why he was drafted in the first round. Kenny Clark has to be consistently getting in there. You just didn't get that until the last drive. They finally started to get some push, but it just wasn't consistent enough, in my opinion at least, watching this football game. And outside of Xavier McKinney, who else has been the guys that consistently are making plays? They don't have anybody else. Your corners aren't making plays on a week-in, week-out basis, right? Who was the last corner to bat a ball away to save a game or to stop a drive or something like that? I couldn't even tell you the last corner back to dive and bat a ball away to stop a drive. Don't remember one. Now, having Evan Williams back today, that helps, obviously, right? You feel better about your safety position for sure at that point. Then you start talking about the Packers defense and how they want to play. I'm sure Jeff Hafley wants to play more aggressive than he is, but if you can't trust your corners, that's going to be an issue going forward. Plain and simple. So if Alexander's out, and again, knee injury, so if he's going to be out against the Niners, and then you've got, what, four primetime games in a row after that, starting with the Dolphins game on Thanksgiving at Lambeau, those are all big-time matchups. So now it's Valentine, Nixon, Stokes. That's what we're going to rely on?
to go and try and stop really good wide receivers in the National Football League, that's a problem. And how you overcome that, I don't know. I do know this. If you can't stop the run, they got no chance back there either. Because then you got to play both. Then they got to respect play action because they've been pounding the rock on you. And again today, same type of deal. It wasn't just the running backs. But when Caleb Williams is able to consistently run, you have at some point to now say, okay, we got to spy him. Didn't want to, didn't think we had to, but now somebody's got to stay home to make sure he doesn't break containment and get out and run 15 yards upfield.
They got to figure out how to get back on the turnover train, too. I mean, it feels like they haven't committed a turnover. Did they have one against Detroit? I don't think they had one against Detroit. They didn't have one today. They got off to such a great start and an unbelievable pace that they weren't going to be able to keep up with it by any means. But, gosh, a turnover in this game, and it's a completely different feeling, completely different emotions during it. And it's not going to come from – they've only come right now from sacks on the quarterback and Xavier McKinney, it feels right. like. And I think Jair and or Evan Williams both have picks this year too, but – if Jair's not playing, they have yet to have a corner create a turnover all year.
That's a problem. That's a big problem. Yes, and that means, A, you have to stop the running game for the opposing team immediately because you cannot allow that to be a problem, because if they're running the football, play action becomes more of an issue for everybody involved on the defensive side of the football. And you look at the Bears, and we'll go inside the box score next segment. DeAndre Swift averaged 5 yards per carry. Caleb Williams, 9 runs. He averaged almost 8 yards per carry, 9 runs for 70 yards. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, Sparky, you called it on Friday. I didn't call it on Friday. Charlie Usen didn't call it on Friday. Now, Charlie did tell me if the Bears win this game, I'm going to be the villain of Wisconsin, because all week I was saying, if they only win by 3 or less, I'm going to be livid, and so will Packer fans. And you know what? I'm pretty sure I'm right. I'm pretty sure most of us are mad, even though you got a surprise win, a block by Kyle Brooks to win it. I think most Packer fans are still livid by how this game played out. And if we're being honest, the referees did not help the Packers either. The Packers missed, what, 2-3 calls at least the referees did against this Packers team throughout the game? At least 2 or 3. And the first one they missed earlier in the game, I was like, guys, I mean, I understand they missed the call, fine, but this is not going to be the deciding factor of whether or not they win or lose a call in the first half. But it was consistent. The Packers, I didn't feel like they could catch a break in this game with as far as referees go.
And the obvious false start on DeAndre Swift later on,
too. Oh, my
too.
God.
That was...
he fell forward and kept his head tilted to the left,
yes.
Like trying to, like a statue. Maybe they wouldn't catch him. They didn't. The entire defense, like, I swear to you, 8 guys pointed at
yes.
Swift when it happened.
Yes, I have
And the
no
referees
idea.
Are like, I don't know what they're looking at. I don't know. We'll just let him go. Yeah, come on, man. That's absolutely horrible. All right. Nicolay Law fan talking text line. Tommy will read the text messages. So we'll take your calls as well. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Packers get the win over the Bears on a Kyle Brooks blocked field goal. But it would have been a game-winning field goal by the Bears as time expired. And the Packers win. It's the Green Bay Football postgame show driven by Young Express. Right here from the Fan Studios on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Sparky with you.
It's the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on the Fan.
My, oh my, oh my. The Packers definitely did not dominate, but they got the dough. And that's all that really matters now, doesn't it? Packers get the win 2019 in large part thanks to Kyle Brooks blocking Garasando's field goal as time expired, and the Packers get the victory. We're broadcasting from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Time now to go inside the box score. And if we look at the Packers, Jordan Love, 13 of 17, 261, a touchdown and an interception with a quarterback rating of 113.
Love, quick throw, end zone, it's caught, there's a penalty, so hang on, it's Reed. If it counts.
12 men. Defense. Penalty decline. Result to play. Touchdown.
Packers go quick. And it's Jaden Reed.
That penalty decline.
Wow. For the touchdown. So good.
So good is right. Great throw by Love. Great catch by Reed. Touchdown. Love took advantage of them having too many guys on the field. That was his lone touchdown pass of the day. Highlight courtesy of Fox 6. Running the football, Josh Jacobs, 18 carries for 17. 76 yards and a touchdown. Long on the day, only 12 yards. Jordan Love had 4 carries for 18 yards and a touchdown as well. We'll get to that touchdown momentarily. Emmanuel Wilson, 2 for 17. Jaden Reed, 1 for -5. It was a horrible play call. Receivers, Christian Watson, 4 for 150. Mr. Big Play Christian Watson showed up today, Tommy. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, he was the offense, it felt like, in the second half, for sure. And a couple big plays there in the fourth quarter that you don't win this game. You don't win this football game without Christian Watson playing it.
Do you know what's crazy? I can't tell you the last time we had one of these. I don't, off the top of my head, the last time he went for, I don't know, 115.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
120, something like that. I mean, this is not something we've seen a lot of because he's been hurt all the time. Yep. And you haven't really been able to see what we could see from Christian Watson. What you saw today is something that you could see more and more of here in the second year if he can stay on the field.
Yeah, it's his career high in yards that was said today. He is an interesting player, right? Because he's seen as the deep threat all the time, but really it was all run after catch on the second one. He made a great play, made a guy miss, and was able to take it another 40 yards or so afterwards. I think that Green Bay is in desperate need to have their wide receivers are in desperate need to prove themselves right now, because this was not a Romeo Doubs game. Dontayvion Wick's stock has never been lower right now. So if Christian Watson wants to separate himself from the rest of this wide receiver group, go ahead. Do it today.
When was the last time Christian Watson went over 100 yards receiving in a game? I just went through and looked.
I feel like I remember a Philly game. He was really good, right?
No. The last time he went over 100 yards receiving was 2022. That season, it technically would have been the 23 because it was the playoffs. January 8th in a loss to the Lions, he had 5 catches for 104 yards. He had 3 games that year over 100 yards receiving his rookie year. Had none last year, had none this year until today with his 150.
Was that the Lions' loss game to not make the playoffs?
Correct.
He did it? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the last time. So, I mean, from that perspective, this is what you need to see more of, right? I mean, now you're 7-3. You got 7 left. Give me Christian Watson. Give me 3 more games of Christian Watson over 100 yards being a big play threat. And I'll tell you why it's such a big deal, because now that frees up Dobbs. That frees up taking pressure off of Jaden Reed, where guys I think are looking for a little bit now, to kind of go be that guy. By the way, your guy Jaden Reed, who you said was all this and a bag of chips.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'll give him that. But I'm also not completely abandoning that take.
Well, right now, they need somebody to be that guy. And today, it was Christian Watson. Josh Jacobs, 4 catches for 58 yards. Jaden Reed, 2 for 23. And, of course, that touchdown, the highlight that I played. Dobbs, 1 for 17. He had a drop, too. Ball went right through his hands. Chris Brooks, 2 for 13 on the day. Wicks had only one target. Kraft had only one target. That's something else that I don't understand. And again, you don't get the all-22 look or whatever else. I don't understand how Tucker Kraft goes a whole game and doesn't have any catches.
Yeah, that's actually one of the text messages here from the 414. No touches for Kraft. How does that happen? Is he hurt?
No, he was out there.
Yeah, he was out there every play.
He was out there. I don't know how many snaps he had, but I felt like I saw him out there pretty much all game long on offense. But as you pointed out, they didn't run a ton of plays either.
No, it's 43 plays they ran all day. That's what they did on offense. They got 19 first downs. Half the time they ran a play, they got a first down, it felt like.
And they almost lost.
And they almost lost.
They should have lost on that field goal. Thank God for Kyle Brooks blocking that kick. On defense, we look at the numbers there, thanks to Sealwind Industries. 9 tackles, 6 solo tackles for Xavier McKinney. Carrington Valentine, 9 tackles, 4 solo tackles. I'm telling you right now, a good indicator that it wasn't going your way is when your DBs are leading you in tackles, Tommy. That's always an indicator that things didn't go well for the defense today.
That was the first time when McKinney got beat on a play. It was just a perfectly thrown ball by Caleb Williams down the sideline. That's the first time we've ever seen the back of his uniform, it felt like, today. Yep. And it's a shame that it's McKinney. It's 3 DBs leading your teams on the tackles, not just one. It's not like, okay, McKinney was everywhere. No, it's Valentine, it's Bullard. Quay Walker is 4th until you get to a non-DB.
Correct. And Quay Walker is also the only guy with a pass defended today.
Yeah.
Only single player with a pass defended all day.
And he's just Blake Martinez 2.0. It's nothing special.
I don't even know if it's even Blake Martinez, to be honest with you. I mean, he had that running back dead to rights and was standing upright, and the dude just went underneath him and got the deal done. Quay Walker should have made that tackle and stopped him short of the end zone or whatever, and the guy just went right through him.
Yeah, he's...
That was Rashawn Johnson,
not
right?
Not it, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, crazy. He was right there. Edrin Cooper didn't have any big plays today for him necessarily. 8 tackles, 5 solo. Evan Williams, 6, 5 solo tackles, 6 for Rashawn Gary, but he did have a sack today.
About that time. Last that drive. Where he got blocked.
Yes.
He did not get blocked and
he
got a sack.
He pushed that dude back like 5 yards, that left tackle.
Oh my gosh.
He pushed that dude back 5 yards to get the play, and then you see the camera shot of like the helmet turned sideways and down a little bit, and he's kind of just giving you the death stare at that point, if that's right. And then you get to 30-19, you feel good, and then they eventually give up a first down anyhow. But either way, so that was nice for Rashawn Gary. Cox, like we talked about, had a sack and a tackle for a loss on the running back early in the game when he was in there. I think, and we'll see if I'm right or wrong, but I think if there's going to be this surprise standout player that helps push them, I think it's going to be Brenton Cox Jr. at the end of the day.
I don't think it's going to be Lucas Van Ness.
Nope.
Inekbari's been pretty silent over the last few, and he missed the sack on third down. So, yeah, why not? Why not, Brenton Cox?
Absolutely right. All right, let's get into a little bit of some of the other things that went sideways on the Packers. I want somebody to explain to me, and I tweeted it out, why? Why did they challenge that play for
God.
Jordan Love diving for the pylon? Regardless, if you thought it was a touchdown or not, who cares? You were at the goal line. My God, if you can't get in from there, you're not supposed to win anyhow. So to heck with that, why do we? And because if you lose, you lose a timeout, which you could have used to freeze the kicker. You could have done whatever you wanted with it. And instead, you burn it. I didn't understand it at all, Tommy.
That was terrible. It was terrible. I had said, did he get in there? But I wasn't in the strong boat of challenge it to make sure he got in. And then the next play, you run a QB sneak anyway, Matt LaFleur. You knew that was going to be on the top of your play call sheet. You have 4 chances at that. You weren't going to settle for a field goal if you didn't get it anyway. Made absolutely no sense. It was a total emotional call by Matt LaFleur. And he was very emotional that last 3 minutes of the game because he did it on the defensive side too, where he burned his last time out with 35 seconds left as
well. For no reason.
For no reason. I don't understand what Matt LaFleur was doing at the end there, and that challenge was foolish is the only word you can think of for it because it wasn't to get a first down,
nope.
And it wasn't with no time left on the clock. So what was the point?
I have no idea. And I'm hoping somebody will ask him in the post game about that specific thing. And if you're a big Packer fan, we're the place to be tomorrow, right? Andy Herman, the Pack-A-Day radio show, 8 to 9 a.m. tomorrow. 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Got to tune in for that. Then it's Jim Rome, 11 to 2, but I'm sure there'll be a little talk about the Packers blocking that field goal from Rome at some point. And then 2 to 5, we're right back into talking about the Packers and the Bears, of course, with Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. That all comes up tomorrow here on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Again, a green and gold Monday. And as some like to call it, a victory Monday. But again, there's so many things to talk about with this game. You're just trying to figure out where you want to go first. You can go wherever you would like talking about this game. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250, or not at 1250 AM The Fan. That's the old Twitter account. At The Fan Milwaukee if you want to hop aboard there too. And if you go back and look at some of the tweets, and I don't know how many of you were watching Twitter or not during the game. Michael tweeted earlier at Sparky Radio and at The Fan Milwaukee, halfway came up with a weak plan. It's almost like they had zero plan in this game. Randy said, not sure what was worse, LaFleur coaching today or Locke quarterbacking yesterday. What a painful weekend. Now, again, this was before, right before that kick. Everybody was assuming he was going to make that kick. So everybody thought that they were going to lose this, right? No question. Everybody thought they were going to lose.
Sure.
Dream big. All on LaFleur today. He's not a top 10 coach.
Oh, that's a foolish statement, too.
Yeah.
That's wrong. He's a top 10 coach. He's a top 5 coach in the league. He had a rough day today. I said Halfley was in a no-win situation this weekend. It was either this is a terrible offense and you're going to go out there and do what you're supposed to do, or a new offensive play caller comes in and torches you, and you are now, your seat gets hot with the fan base all of a sudden. So it was a no-win situation for Halfley. Do I think that he was terrible today? No. I mean, they held him to 19 points. That's a pretty solid day in the NFL. But you could tell that Thomas Brown definitely simplified this offense for Caleb Williams. It was so much more reliant on the run game. They kept showing the graphic on how quick he was getting the ball out today compared to every other game.
It was less than 2 seconds.
Yeah, they were drawing up all sorts of quick stuff, and that is prime where Jeff Halfley would get torched. We've talked about this, too. He is totally okay with giving up. You know, he's not going to press guys and make them play, you know, within those 5 yards for receivers. He'll give up the medium plays because he's trying to prevent the big plays right the entire time.
Well, if you could move the ball down the field with making perfect throws and not making errant throws, then you're going to get down there. Then he relies on his defense to keep you out of the end zone.
And today the Bears did a great job of it when they needed to, and they only really had the one big play when DeAndre Swift ran the ball, 35 yards or whatever it was, and it was blocked up beautifully. I mean, it was textbook. Everyone's going to get beat on that play. So, I don't know. I don't think Halfley wowed, but you know, he gave up 19 points. I mean, what more do you want to be upset? And then they block the kick, they win the game. Should they have won this game? Absolutely not.
No, they definitely should not have won the game.
I don't think you can really be like, Halfley was terrible today.
No. Mickey, he tweeted earlier at Rob Domofsky and at myself, and the reason he did was because I had retweeted something from Rob Domofsky. Domofsky says this is Love's 8th straight game with interception, the longest single season streak by a Packers quarterback since 2005. That was Brett Favre, who threw a pick in 10 straight games in 2005. It's also the longest streak by any quarterback this season, per ESPN Stats Info. Mickey responds to that tweet that I retweeted and said, Love is not a good quarterback. Fans continue to make excuses for him, but Packers screwed up giving him that contract. Now, I don't know how many other people think that same way, but I do know Mickey is not the only one. There are a bunch of people on social media that continued to rail on Jordan Love. Now, these same people were quiet in the second half of last year, very vocal in the first half, and now here we are in the first half at 7-3. 7 wins, 3 losses, and people are now back on the Jordan Love is trash train, which drives me absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Do you know how many interceptions Brett Favre had in that 2005 season?
I did not look it up, no.
29. I mean, Love's not even close to that number, all right? So I understand he's thrown...
Well, he leads the league in interceptions with 11, and that's with playing 2 less games.
Yes.
Because he missed 2 games.
Yes, he's not going to get to 29. I doubt he gets to 20.
Well, there's 7 games left, so if he throws a pick each game, he's at 18 for
right
the season.
So,
and now, again, as I've said before, I got to quit saying the word again. I think I've said it 30 times this show. For me, it's you come off of Aaron Rodgers, who is unbelievable at not throwing interceptions. Also, and not taking chances. Also, and not throwing to the guy wide open, waiting for his guy to make a big play and taking a sack. But he doesn't throw interceptions, correct?
So now you get Jordan Love, who is probably closer to average or probably worse than average as far as throwing interceptions, and it makes it look way worse. If we went from Brett Favre to Jordan Love, nobody would be blinking an eye.
No.
They would just be saying, well, we just watch Brett do it. Who cares? As long as we win a Super Bowl at the end of this, I'm fine with it. We'll deal with it. But because you're coming from Rodgers, Mr. Great Quarterback Rating, Mr. I don't make mistakes, throwing into double coverage that often, and so forth, into Love now, who plays more like, I don't know, Josh Allen or somebody like that, then even Mahomes throws a bunch of interceptions. A lot of these guys that everybody thinks are so great, they throw their fair amount of picks. They throw way more picks than Aaron Rodgers does most of the time.
Yeah,
and in a season-to-season basis.
And take away that take away the first touchdown of the game, then, if you don't want to say he didn't learn from Aaron Rodgers in any way. They got him jumping 12 men. They had a guy off sides. They went and they ran that hurry up immediately. That's textbook Aaron Rodgers football right there. And that's something Jordan Love picked up from him, too, even if he's not throwing, you know, 400 straight passes without an interception.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, have you ever thought about becoming your own boss? Now is the time. Time to join the Young Express team. All you're going to do is drive for a living. Make this your new career. Maybe you've already had a career and you've done something for 20, 30 years, and now you're looking to do something else for your second part of your journey in the workforce or whatever. This is perfect, man. You got nobody breathing down your neck in the office, right? Nothing like that. You don't got to work well with others if that's something you're not a strong suit of. Why? Because you're just driving in your vehicle. That's it. Looking for people with cargo vans or sprinter vans. You pick stuff up, you drop stuff off. It's just that simple. 99% no-touch freight. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you. So all you have to do is just drive, baby. It's just that simple. Join the Young Express team today. They're looking for, again, full-time independent contractors that can drive locally within about 250 miles of Milwaukee. So you're not even driving nationally. You're not even driving regionally. You're staying, for the most part, here in the state of Wisconsin. Join them today at youngexpress.com. That's youngexpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them. Packers get the win 20-19 over the Chicago Bears, thanks in large part to a blocked field goal by Carl Brooks to win the football game. And if you missed it, maybe you were in your car and you thought the game was over, so you turned it off. I know a lot of people probably did that, right? Bears line up for the field goal. They turn off the TV. They go outside to work in the garage. They go do something else, get in the car, go shopping, give up on the Packers. Well, you missed this one. That's the correct call. I like courtesy of Fox 6. That's the correct call. They survived. That was the exact correct call. Packers win 29. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Tommy Wirtz over there. You can jump aboard. Plenty of time for you on the phone, or if you want to text and do that, you can do that as well. This is the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line, 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. As we broadcast from the Fan Studios, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM. The Fan. Pop. The Potawatomi Sportsbook.
What play or plays changed today's game? It's time for the turning point of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show. Driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
I just realized something. A, the Packers won 20-19. And we'll get to the turning point. But you know what else I just realized? Tomorrow, you got Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Radio 8-9. But then you got a kicker in Mason Crosby who could talk about what Cairo Santos is probably feeling like right about now as his field goal kick gets blocked. Like, okay, am I mad at my offensive lineman for not keeping that dude grounded and not in the air? Am I mad at myself for not getting enough trajectory on the ball to get over that dude's hands? Like, what goes through your mind as a kicker when you get essentially a field goal blocked? Forget the aspect of it was a game-winning field goal, but just in general, when you get a field goal blocked, where does the blame really lie at that point, Tommy? And you and Mitch Thunder Nellis and Mason will talk all about it tomorrow from 9 to 11. Have you guys talked about it previously?
Yeah, I do have a sneak peek, I guess, at tomorrow from our text chain already.
Oh, boy.
Are you sure he's okay with you saying this on the radio?
It says Mitch Thunder Nellis, Santos did the grass thing, no wind. Because remember, we were like, are they kicking it right now with 35 seconds? He came out, he just picked a piece of grass. And Mason Crosby, yeah, no way he misses this, says that. But you have to keep that timeout just because. Talking about Matt LaFleur.
Correct.
With that timeout.
Yep.
And then we all then, everything's going crazy after, of course. And he seems like he's blaming Cairo Santos on this.
Okay, so we'll find out more tomorrow why he's blaming Cairo Santos if this holds true to tomorrow, because, again, he'll be able to see like the replay 12 million times between now and then to really analyze it a little bit better. But so, yeah, tomorrow morning, Mason Crosby, baby, and Mitch Thunder Nellis, they'll be talking about that block kick at the end. Now, we play the open for the turning point of the game. And Tommy and I were talking about it in the break, like, okay, so where do we go with turning point? Now, if they lose the game, I probably would have went to the Jordan Love interception because that could have made it 14-3. Instead, they get the ball back, they go down and score. Now, again, if they get the ball back, go 1-2-3 punt, then it's not a turning point. But they get the ball back, they drive down the field, time-consuming drive, and score the football, and now all of a sudden the game is completely turned around. So that would have been the turning point. But when you win the game at the end, then this has to be the turning point.
And it's blocked! Oh my goodness, the Packers block it, and they're going to win!
I can listen to this all night. It's so good. It's just so good.
Green Bay survives!
Imagine, hold on. You imagine, like, Charlie Usen, big Bears fan, right?
He's sick.
Okay,
right now.
So on Friday, I'm just running my mouth. I was on the score. I was on the fan. I was like, if this has been 3 points, I'm going to be livid. And I am livid because they didn't play well. But having said that, could you imagine Charlie Usen, a little bit older, married kids, brings their kid to their first Bears game? Because I bet you money there were kids at their very first Bears game ever today, right? I don't know how many, but there were probably some at their first Bears game. The kick gets blocked. You lose the 11th straight time against the Packers. And you're the dad having to explain to your child that this pain doesn't ever stop, apparently.
Could you imagine being a Charlie Usen, let's not even pretend older. How about a younger Charlie Usen? A Charlie Usen that was 2 days younger, to be exact, when you come on the Pack-A-Day 3-hour edition and claim that the Bears are going to win on a last-second field goal. A last-second field goal was his prediction. And
I don't believe that was his prediction on our show on Wisconsin Sports.
Okay.
I don't believe that is necessarily
what
he predicted.
That was where he came in, and then I come in after being the guy playing bang on the drum saying they're going to win 74-0 after that.
I heard you say that and thought you were off your rocker. Yes, I heard you say that,
but then to get blocked where you look like you're going to be the super genius, and then that has to not only destroy your take and rip your heart out?
Yes.
Oh.
Do you know who I'm mad at if I'm Charlie Usen? Do you know who I'm mad at? I'm not mad at Cairo Santos. I'm not mad at Matt Eberflus. I'm not mad at Thomas Brown. They should give Thomas Brown like a huge raise for how much he turned that offense around. Former Badger running backs coach, their offensive coordinator. They should just, here you go. You're the new head coach. We're getting rid of Eberflus tomorrow morning.
Are you mad at Packer urinals?
Packer urinal cakes that apparently George McCaskey drops in restaurants and bars? No, I'm not. No, I'm not even mad at him. Do you know who I'm mad at right now if I'm Charlie?
No.
I'm mad at my dad, who made me a damn Bears, Cubs, and Bulls fan. That's who I'm mad at. Don't even talk to me. Stay away from me. This is all your fault. If you would have just let me grow up and live and be a Packer fan like all my friends were, I wouldn't be going through this every damn year.
Oh, my God.
I mean, think about it. This is 11, so that's what, 6 years? 5-6 years, it's been that long since they've beat the Green Bay Packers. His dad would have just left him alone and said, son, you don't want this. Go root for winners. If he would have just done that, Charlie would be excited like we are right now.
It's not even that kids that went to their first Bears game should also be mad. It's any Bears fan who is in kindergarten or younger because you have never seen it. You are in school.
Jackson would have been 3, my 8-year-old. But today, before the game, he goes, "We suck. Our offensive line's horrible. We're going to lose." That was his take before the game, before they play the Packers.
It's just all the Chicago Bears 6-year-olds to never have seen a win is crazy.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Correct. I let the 8-year-old at home do what he wanted. I don't care. You want to root for all Chicago teams? Go right ahead. Do what you want to do. My senior in high school, he's a Falcons fan, a Sacramento Kings fan, and now he's coming around to being a Brewers fan because prior to this, he was just a Shohei fan. But he's like, I can't root for him on the Dodgers. I will not root for like the highest payroll in baseball. So now he's come around on the Brewers. So he's kind of rooting for the Brewers now. So those are his three teams. But I'm not making anybody root for anybody. And I know there are some parents. You will root for the Packers. You will root for the Brewers. You will root for the Bucks. I'm not that guy. Like, root for whoever you want to root for.
You can't,
I don't really care. I'm not going to make you root for anybody.
I don't think after this game, even you, there's so many things that you could say that go wrong for this Packers team and things to hate on. But when you win that emotionally at the end, it doesn't even matter. It trumps all of it for the day. For the day. Tomorrow, you break it down. Why was everything bad here? Who's to blame? Who should be on the watch? No.
Nobody's on the watch. They're 7-3 all. That's
right.
Just it. You could be mad at Halfley. He's not being touched. You could be mad at LaFleur. He's not being touched. All this crap about Goody being horrible. He ain't being touched either. They're 7-3.
So can you say confidently that it's not a fraudulent 7-3?
Yeah. Who have they beat that was good?
Who have the Packers beaten that were good?
Yeah. Not much.
Not much.
No, so the wins they got were real. They haven't beaten a really good team per se yet, right?
Houston? So is that win still good?
Sure, that's, I guess. But Houston's not the same Texans as last year.
Right.
Now they get Nico Collins back. So that's going to make them good. But when the Packers played them, Nico Collins wasn't there. So when you say fraudulent, I feel like you have two or three wins against really good teams this way where, you know, you get some magic break or whatever at the end. That's what I think when you say fraudulent. Now, others may say it's fraudulent because you haven't beaten anybody. That's why they view it as fraudulent. To which I say, okay, fine, fair. Right? That's fair. The one thing they could not afford to do was be 0-3 in the division after today.
Right.
So now you're 1-2 in the division with a Niners team that history says you struggle against, regardless if it's here or there. Mm-hmm. At least with Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't know how this is going to play with Jordan Love. Last year, he threw that ball across his body and lost. Your field goal kicker missed a field goal, Carlson, in that game that he should have made. So that wasn't a good start to the Jordan Love versus Niners era, but we're only one game in. So let's see what happens next week. As bad as they look today against the Bears, they might look even, well, they better look better. They may look really good next week and throttle the Niners, and then everybody comes back up to a super high of like, okay, we're good. Let's go. Let's go run the table. Here we go, Packers. It could change that quickly.
Yeah. I just don't want them to fall into the trap of when was Daniel Jones good? Like that 2 years ago, 3 years
it's
ago?
Rookie year.
Yeah, when they went against the Vikings, when the Vikings were, what, 13-3 or something?
Yep.
It might have been the last 16-game season. And everyone knew that Vikings team was not good. Or that Steelers team that started 11-0 and then lost to the Browns, I think, in the first round of the playoffs. I just don't want... I'm wondering if national media is going to get ahead of local media on, is this Packers team not as good as their record says it is?
Sure, it's on point. At some point, it'll become that. If they beat the Niners, then that'll be pushed aside.
Then that would absolutely get pushed aside.
That'll
get
pushed aside if we get to that point. I'm going to tell you why it doesn't become a talking topic or a topic necessarily, because most of the national media love Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
So because they love the quarterback, you're not going to hear that. But if this team was 7-3 with Daniel Jones as the quarterback, then maybe you would hear some of that. With a quarterback that, you know, Orlovsky and these guys on TV don't believe in, maybe you would hear more of that. But because all these guys are in on Jordan Love, you're probably not going to hear much of the whole fraudulent takes and so forth. Maybe if you turn on 670 The Score, which I'm sure they're crying their heads off right now, if you turn them on, maybe you'll hear Chicago fans saying that. Or if you turn on The Ticket in Detroit, Jeff Rieger and those guys, maybe they'll be saying it in the division. But like the talking heads on ESPN, Fox Sports 1 and all of that, I don't think we're necessarily there yet at 7-3.
I don't. Now, they go lose 2-3 games in a row and they're 7-5, 7-6, then I think you'll hear, man, we should have known better. We should have saw this coming. Yeah. They never were really there. But if they keep finding ways to win, they beat the Niners. They're 8-3 going home to play the Dolphins Thanksgiving night in prime time. I would assume everybody's going to be on the Packers hype train.
I just think that the more you speak about it, I think the 49ers game is going to absolutely prompt that discussion one way or the other. Because I think that's going to be another tester of are they good in the national scale on the national scale. So,
and like I said, that Dolphins game, Tommy, starts what? 4 primetime games in a row.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have late nights.
Late nights. So next week's that's a 3:00, 3:25 start, whatever it is. And then after that, it's prime time. These noon games were fun, but now we're gonna be broadcasting in the middle of the night, which is fine. But those are four. My point is, Niner game, 4 games after. Those are 5. Big games to where all eyes are on you watching, because the majority of the country will have your game. For the primetime games, everybody gets you. This 3:25 or whatever start it is against the Niners, a majority of the country is going to get that game too to watch next Sunday. So all eyes on you, and we'll see how they perform. But all this Matt LaFleur talk coming in, I heard pregame today, and I think he was with McCarron or Larrabee, I don't know, whoever did the pregame interview with LaFleur on the radio. And he's talking about, hey man, we had 3 great practices this week. The energy was great. We were crisp. Love looked really good. Like, I'm excited to see what it looks like. And that first drive looked great. And then after that, it still looked okay, but you couldn't capitalize when you had opportunities. And instead of kicking field goals with Brandon McManus, you decided to keep going for it and costing yourself points. But at the end of the day, the Packers win, which you have to be happy about that, 20-19 over the Chicago Bears. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We'll hear from Packers head coach Matt LaFleur next here on The Fan.
Show them what time it is!
Is over, and it's time to talk about what happened. We'll go inside the locker room, dive into the numbers, and take your calls on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, your locally owned national freight service provider. Success drives them. Let's get to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer to talk about today's game on The Fan.
Well, the Packers figured out a way to get the victory today, 20-19. Over the Chicago Bears, a blocked field goal by Carl Brooks, of a game-winning field goal by the Bears, and they hold on somehow, some way to win. 7-3 now are the Green Bay Packers, as we broadcast from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass, and want to get into a little bit of Matt LaFleur here. Before we hear from Matt LaFleur, at the podium, let's hear from Matt LaFleur. Again, this is courtesy of Fox 6, in the locker room.
First of all, we will never, ever apologize for winning this league. Never, all right? It was not up to our standard. And there's a lot of shit that we got to improve upon, all right? But I'll tell you what, we talked about competitive endurance. And that was a competitive game, and it went down to the final play, so give it up for yourself.
Yeah, that's nice. He'll give out game balls too, but that's the part of it we got. Apologizing for winning. I agree. But you also can't be mad by the line of questioning that's going to come from the media when you look like that and win like that. And this to me is a conversation that I enjoy having. Because I feel like a lot of times the team feels like the media, the local media, should be with them and supportive of them and be on their side. They don't expect the Chicago media to have, you know, supportive questions for them. They don't expect guys from ESPN or Fox or CBS to have supportive questions of them. But I do think that a lot of times your home team expects the local media, when you win a game, to kind of be as positive as maybe you can. And I just don't think that's realistic. Now, again, our media is fair to maybe even more than fair in the line of questioning that we ask. This is not the New York or Philly media
that gets after guys and puts them on the hot seat. Like I'm sure has been happening to the Jets this year and to the Giants this year, Tommy. So I get why he's saying don't apologize for a loss, because I'm sure he realizes the line of questioning that was coming for all of those players once the media was allowed in, Tommy.
I think the fair questions to ask Matt LaFleur today go in the order of A, or number one, the challenging Jordan Love's touchdown.
Yep.
Number two, I think the two-point conversion play probably takes over there.
That's a horrible call.
And then three, the timeout at the 35-second mark. On the field goal. But again, it worked out in his favor, so that's not really going to be a tough one
answer. No, but I want to know what he was thinking.
But I think those three questions are very fair to ask Matt LaFleur today, because, and I guess the red zone inefficiency can go up there too.
The inability to stop Caleb Williams from running all over you throughout the game. I mean, I think that's also something that came up. Like, did you come into the game expecting him to run as much as he did? Were you game planning for this, or was this unexpected? To me, and again, I wasn't in their meetings, but if I'm Matt LaFleur, I'm like, kind of unexpected. We weren't expecting him to take off and run. He's like Jordan, where he likes to stay in the pocket and throw it. Now, he'll flush out and throw it, and he's one of the best in the league at doing it when he gets forced out. Yes, but you haven't seen necessarily a ton of Caleb Williams carving defenses up like this.
Is that a question for Matt or for Jeff?
Well, Matt has to know the game plan.
Right, but he also gives a lot of that power to Jeff on the defensive side of the ball.
And if hey, listen, he could say, go talk to Jeff.
Yeah.
Right? Go talk to Coach Halfley, ask him. I'm over here worried about my offense, and I trust him to have the defensive game plan, so go ask him and see what he says at the end of the day.
There was a very obvious fourth down play that they did that they were going to do a read option to. That was another one where I was like, how is Caleb Williams getting this first down? You knew he wanted – remember he was preaching, let's go for it, let's go for it. And I think they only got a field goal out of the drive. But, I mean, it was so obvious Caleb Williams was going to keep the ball. It was so obvious. Why did you not have two guys over there so you could have one guy crash the RB and one guy waiting for Caleb Williams? It was you're a fan – screaming at the TV, you know he's going to get the ball. He's been running the whole game. Why did they convert on fourth and three with a read option?
Yep, I agree. I'm with you. Again, sometimes his takes aren't crazy. Sometimes. He's been relatively right on point today, I feel like. It's been a nice show for you.
I can get weird if you want me to get weird.
No, I don't ever. I just want you to say what you believe 100%. I don't want anything else. Here is Matt LaFleur talking after the Packers' 20-19 victory. This is the thing. I think sometimes Matt LaFleur can be a little too honest, maybe, a little bit there. Because, I mean, he pretty much just said, yeah, it was a bad play call. Like, we knew what they were going to run. We made the play call. But it was all dependent on one receiver getting across the face of a DB. And if that didn't work, didn't really feel comfortable with what else we were going to get on that play. That's pretty much what he said. They ran what he knew they were going to. They ran what he thought they were going to run. And then the player that was supposed to cut across the face, whoever that was, didn't do it. And the play was blown up at that point, and Jordan Love had to run out of bounds. The fourth and five call, or fourth and six, whatever it was, instead of kicking the field goal, that was funny to me. Well, for you analytics guys out there, I don't know what it says. Man, you got your own analytics people. You need to stop acting like you don't have analytics people. Of course you do. You've got the card, what it says in certain situations, down, distance, and everything else. Like, it's all labeled out in front of you. You knew what the right call was. You made the decision to go for it because, as you put it, you thought your defense could get them 1-2-3 punt, get the ball back at midfield, and then have another opportunity to go down and score again. And now, as a player, you love it. If you're Jordan Love, man, I'm all about it. Let me go for it on fourth down. Remember Caleb Williams earlier in the game? He's yelling at his sidelines to let him go for it on fourth down. Pleading, you could see his hands, like, give me a play, let's go, hurry up, let's go. He wanted to go. And Eberflus is like, fine, go ahead. And it worked out. So as a player, you love it. But as a head coach, you got to do the smart thing in those situations. Like, as soon as, again, but as soon as he put the play in, he should have said to Jordan Love, hey, and maybe he did, if they give you this look, you feel free to check out to what you think will work better and go. And I would assume Jordan Love has that freedom anyhow. But he probably trusted Matt on that call, ran that play, and it didn't work. 9 out of 10 times, I think you just kicked the field goal. That's what I would have done. Even though you were down 5, get the points while you can and trust that, yeah, you're still down 2 after that, but that your offense will be able to get down there with a chance to score again, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't hate the call to go for it at that point. I don't think that you can say, you know, we'll get another chance at this. You know, be confident that we'll get another chance at this. I think if you ask people around the NFL, Matt LaFleur kind of falls into the analytical wave of coaching too, right?
Yes. I mean, younger guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not. Yep. He's. Why would he be so? Oh, I don't know about you analytics guys. Like, I think you are an analytics guy. You are in that younger, new wave of coaches that we're not going to punt every time it's fourth down. We're not going to kick a field goal every time if it's fourth down. He's been burned by analytics before. Remember when Aaron Rodgers didn't run the ball and then they kicked it against San Francisco and said when they should have went for it, right, to make it a one-possession game to a one-possession game. So I don't think that Matt LaFleur should get any heat for going for it when they went for it. And Jordan Love did his best to really make that an interesting play. Made a guy miss and then ended up falling down at the one-yard line. He had faith in his defense if they didn't get it. Should he have? I don't know. Bears offense moved it pretty well today. But then it ended up working out perfectly all right, too. All of your mistakes can be forgiven in the moment when you win a game like this.
Some people forget. I don't forget. Like, this is going to be a thing we'll talk about tomorrow on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Can but guarantee you. If you want to hop aboard, you can. Obviously, Nicolay Law, Fan Talk, and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. And, of course, you could tweet us at thefanmilwaukee.com as well. You know, the other thing about this, when we start talking about Matt LaFleur, and we're going to hear from Jordan Love as well, and what he had to say after the game, is I wonder when you're a head coach and you're in these games and you've had as much success as you've had against a team. And the Packers had beaten the Bears 10 straight games. I wonder if it gives you added confidence slash arrogance, right? That in those situations, you're just like, man, we always beat these guys. I can gamble here. Like, it's the damn Bears. We don't lose to the Bears. I can gamble here. And if we don't make it, it's all right. We'll figure it out. At halftime of this football game, I tweeted out at Sparky Radio that the Bears have the lead at half, just like the Badgers had the lead at half. And just like last night, this will work itself out and the right team will win type deal. And I didn't predict a blocked field goal necessarily, but that's essentially what happened. It worked itself out, and the Packers get the win, and the Bears go home absolutely crushed and embarrassed at the same point, because now they're going to have to sit there and watch this for the next couple of days. Sports talk radio down in Chicago with people just screaming and yelling is going to be just completely on point probably for the next, 2 days at least?
Oh, yeah.
Today, tomorrow, and at least Tuesday before they kind of pull back. It really, yes, it's crushing and so forth, but if I'm a Bears fan, I'm happy with how the offense looked. That's the best that offense has looked at least in 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah, you are very content with the firing of Waldron after this game. They put up 3 touchdowns.
They had 3 days to practice. That was it. That's all they had was 3 days. It wasn't like they had a ton of time here to practice. They did not have a ton of time to practice to get this whole thing sorted out. Packers get the win 20-9. We'll come back. We'll hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Plus, we got to get to the defensive play of the game, the MVP of the game, all straight ahead here. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show driven by Young Express. And speaking of my guys over at Young Express, they're looking for full-time independent contractors, local drivers, right? So within about 250 miles of Milwaukee is what they're looking for. Now, what does that mean? That means you're going to drive for a living. That's going to be your new career. They got a 24/7 dispatch team that have over 700 direct customers. Extremely dedicated. See, they take it very personal to keep drivers moving because you're picking up freight and dropping off freight. And if you're not moving to get or drop off, you're not making any money. Gotta have freight to make money, right? So that dispatch team is your lifeline, your lifeblood to making a bunch of money. 99% no-touch freight. The freight is loaded and offloaded for you. So all you have to do is worry about is driving. Great job for retirees looking for a second career or maybe straight out of high school and looking for that first career, not knowing what you want to do. Join the Young Express team today. They're looking for people that have cargo or sprinter vans. You can find them online at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Tommy Wirtz over there. Packers get the win 20-19. It is the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, driven by Young Express from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
All about that nasty D. They all going down.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game on the Green Bay Football Post Game Show, driven by Young Express with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, Packers get the win 20-19 as we broadcast from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan Studios. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here, Tommy Wirtz, producer extraordinaire over there, other side of the glass. And obviously, the story of the game is the blocked field goal at the end for the Green Bay Packers. That's really what it all comes down to. If you missed it, here it is. Beautiful. It was just beautiful. I think I may go home and just play it back over and over and over and over and over again.
Make sure to play it as many times as you want during Wisconsin Sports Daily tomorrow.
Yeah, from 2 to 5.
Make Charlie play it from his computer.
Yeah.
Yes. Just keep clicking it.
I want to see what this is going to be like. I'm very anxious because he and I have not been through a Packer Bears weekend before, because we started the station back up in March with our post-game show after Bucks games, and then in April, middle of April, is when we started Wisconsin Sports Daily, and then, of course, like a month ago, we started the Pack-A-Day radio show with Andy Herman weekday mornings from 8 to 9. That'll be fun tomorrow. And then 9 to 11, the Mason Crosby show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. That's going to be amazing tomorrow here on The Fan. Him and I have not been through Packer Bears weekend before. So this is the first time. So I don't know what to be prepared for tomorrow. Like, does he come in angry? Does he come in mad? Does he come in like, or does he not even come in? Does he call in sick tomorrow morning and say he doesn't feel well, and then you've got to work a double shift? I don't know what to expect from Charlie tomorrow.
I think it's just buzzkill. I don't think you can be mad when it's 11 straight. You're just going to come in.
You're definitely mad. You thought it was over. You thought you had him. Your offense finally got it to the end zone. Like, you got an interception at the end zone against the Packers. Seriously, from a Bears fan perspective, you could not have drawn up a better scenario for your team to put you in a position to win at home.
So what are you mad at?
That you still blew it and couldn't finish. That's what you're mad at, man. Of course.
Buzzkill, I think.
I mean, every Packers fan expected to lose on that field goal.
Best Caleb Williams looked all year. This is the best they ran the football all year. Their defense didn't get torched and slashed the entire day. What are you mad at? You're mad at your dad, like you said.
Yes.
You are mad at your parents.
Charlie's mad at his dad for making him be a Bears fan.
Yes, I think that's where... I don't know what else you can be mad at. They should have won the game, and it's just textbook Packers-Bears the last 6 years.
Correct. I don't feel bad for Bears fans or whatever, because I'm old enough to have lived through 6 damn championships for the Chicago Bulls. I lived through the 85 Super Bowl and the dominance of the Packers getting their rear ends handed to them on a week-in, week-out basis. The difference was, at least when that game was over, a couple of our guys might have been ejected. Guys were bloodied and bruised for the Bears. So even though we lost, they definitely felt it the rest of the week going into their next game. Mm-hmm. So I lived through all of that. I lived through having to watch the damn Cubs win a World Series. I've lived through having the White Sox win a World Series. Been through all of that. So, no. Absolutely not. They've all won in my lifetime, every one of them. The Blackhawks won a championship. So every one of their teams have won a championship. Now, Packers have won multiple championships. Obviously, 2, right? The Bucks won a championship in my lifetime. So that's good. The Brewers have not won a championship this point. To this point. So we'll see if that happens. The Brewers were 26 years of not being in the playoffs. Prior to breaking that streak, it had been 11 years since they were over 500. 11 consecutive years of not being over 500. The Bucks were god-awful forever growing up. So, no, I don't feel bad for organizations struggling because I've been a fan of teams that had struggling organizations during my life. It's part of the deal. Eventually, they'll come out of it. They'll be really good. The Packers will nosedive, and then the roles will be switched for a little bit until the Packers can figure themselves back out again. But for the time being, as a Packers fan, yeah, man, you should enjoy it a little bit, getting that blocked field goal. And then it's the Niners next week. And then we see what happens, and that's four primetime games. All right, let's get to defensive play of the game.
All about that nasty D. They're all going down.
Who made the big play on D? It's time for the defensive play of the game. On the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
All right, so the Packers get the win. 20-19 on the blocked field goal by Carl Brooks. That's special team. So Tommy Wirtz cannot go there for his defensive play of the game. Mm-hmm. Where are you going?
I think I'm going to steal a little bit of thunder for the defensive MVP and highlight him for a play of the game today. How about Breton Cox's first career sack today? And a guy with Preston Smith now being gone,
yep, like
expected
it
to take a bigger role, Lucas Van Ness being very underwhelming. Why not Brenton? Why not Brenton?
And really just steal that ball to the perimeter. Oh,
pressure, and he is dropped. A play action and no falling for it at all from Brenton Cox, who gets his first NFL sack.
I think this had to be.
1 second. Can you play that back again from Fox?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Brady almost swore. I'm pretty sure he went, and stopped himself. Play back again.
Let's see it one more time.
And really just steal that ball to the perimeter. Oh,
pressure in the end.
Definitely.
Brady almost swore on national TV.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, that was absolutely.
Cox almost got Brady to swear on national TV. Yeah. That almost happened.
Well, and it's just unfortunate that it feels like the only time up until the last drive of the game today, and go back to the Tennessee game, the only time the Packers ever get sacked is because someone misses an assignment. It's never a guy beats a guy in front of them. And you know what? Breton Cox was awesome today. He had a huge hit on DeAndre Swift as well that I pulled as a highlight earlier in the game as well at the time. But that was a big play, and you can't go with special teams. You can't take any of the sacks on the last drive of the game because they didn't matter. So how about Breton Cox getting his first career sack today?
I'm all for it. I'm all for Breton Cox because in the secondary, there's not that guy, right? There's nobody to talk about there. Certainly not Quay Walker after what I watched today, so it's not him. Rashawn Gary had a sack, so that was nice. In fact, I got something on the Rashawn Gary sack as well. Let's see here. From Ken, Ken Ingles, who's like the Twitter salary cap guy, whatever you want to call him. Hell of a play and sack for Rashawn Gary in the fourth quarter against the Bears. Unfortunately, these plays are a rare sight as of late. It was his first time in 18 games, including the playoffs, so 360 days, where he beats an actual player for a full sack. His other two full sacks this year were unblocked plays.
Yep.
Yeah. So, again, from that perspective, I don't know if we give an MVP, but he definitely drove on a bull rush that guy back 5 yards, the left tackle.
He needed to do it more today. This is a terrible Bears offensive line. That was Charles Leno, I believe, playing left tackle there. He is known as a turnstile in the NFL. I don't know if you noticed this. His hand was up on that sack and on that last drive. He was playing in a 2-point stance as opposed to 3-point.
He was standing, yes.
And maybe it's something to look at, Jeff, if, you know, call it the makeshift 4-3 and let Gary keep his hand up if it helps him rush.
But what if you just have somebody else with his hand down and let him play outside linebacker? Well, why don't you just stand him up on the outside? Listen to me. I know I'm talking crazy. I'm just saying, if it's Gary, if it's Cooper, and then who would be the third linebacker with those two guys?
McDuffie?
Sure, Wilson.
Wilson.
Whatever. I mean, maybe you let him stand up and come at the quarterback more. Maybe there's plays where he stands up, moves outside, Van Ness puts his hand in the dirt next to him, and they both come from the one end.
And then Cox or whoever is on the other end. So he still play 4-3, but in certain packages, maybe he stands up and he's the outside linebacker.
Well, then you're sending five, and he never wants to do that.
Well,
so.
Again, you've seen Gary come from the inside over center, standing up. Again, remember on that play, or a couple of times he's come from the middle. That's happened. They've tried bringing Quay Walker from the middle as well, trying to test the interior. They brought two guys up the middle on the one play of the interior offensive line that has struggled. So all good stuff. Here's another little note on that blocked field goal from earlier today by the Packers. Kalen Kaler, who's an ESPN NFL reporter, said, just talked to several players in the Packers field goal block unit. All of them said they noticed that Cairo Santos kicked with a low trajectory when doing film study. They expected the Bears to run another play, which in their opinion would have made it more difficult to block. Enjoy that, Bears fans. Enjoy that, Bears coaching staff. Enjoy that.
When you get out special team coached by Rich Bisaccia.
It's like the highest paid special teams coach in the league, ain't it?
Yeah,
making $1 million.
I understand, but I don't think that if you were making that call, you'd be putting him as the highest paid special teams coach.
But Tommy,
in the league.
That's not on the Bears special teams coordinator. That's on Eberflus for not running another damn play.
I was
that,
very
that's
surprised.
Not on the special teams coordinator.
Yes.
He doesn't get to call, whoa, let's run another play. That was on Eberflus for saying, we'll kick it early and we're going to do it this way instead,
right,
and let the clock run all the way down and then call a timeout.
I think they're at the 28 yard line. So what does that make? That like a 43 yard kick?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not. I mean, it's NFL kickers. You need to make those.
Yes.
But it's not chip shot either. You need to hit it a little lower to get through the, you know, to make it go forward.
And he must love the left hash mark because that's where they ran to,
right,
to set him up to kick that. Because if he didn't, you could have snapped the ball, dove to the middle, and then called timeout and let him have a straight on kick. But obviously that was not the play, and Carl Brooks blocks the field goal and gets the win.
If you're the Bears, which one hurts more, the Hail Mary or this play?
Hail Mary. Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt that. I mean,
beat against the Packers that
but
missed this.
Okay, but until I see some live footage from a bar, I mean, that live footage from that one bar that went viral with these guys going crazy, celebrating, high five, and it's over, and then they end up losing on that, and to see them absolutely demoralized. The Bears hadn't won the game yet. They hadn't taken the lead.
Yeah.
So you still had to make the kick. So I'm sure they were excited, but I don't think. Well, I can't say for everybody, but I can't imagine every Bears fan thought, oh, this is automatic. Of course he's going to kick it because it's Bears-Packers, and the Bears have not had good luck against the Packers for quite some time. And I'll argue to my death that the Packers had more calls against them today by the referees than the Bears did, and I don't think it was even remotely close in this game. And the Packers had to overcome that on top of Love throwing the pick. Bad coaching by LaFleur in certain situations, and they still figured out a way to win their 11th game in a row against the Chicago Bears.
I think when you're losing to Green Bay, this one stinks. This one stinks. That's what you should ask Charlie tomorrow.
But what else? If they would have got blown out, the Bears, so the Packers would have won 35 or 38-3. Eberflus is fired tomorrow.
Oh, 100%.
But because it goes this way and it's close, McCaskey probably doesn't fire him. And lets him coach on.
Yeah, which could also be another mistake that they're prolonging.
Correct.
Yes.
But if they would have got blown out, their head coach would have been gone. And I think Bears fans would have been more excited about that than anything else. And they finally would have been able to move on from Eberflus and try to figure out who the next head coach was going to be. Now you lose, and he's still your coach probably next week. And this continues on at the end of the day. I thought this was the best chance Eberflus had of getting fired was if the Packers blew them out in Chicago and McCaskey was not going to want to walk around town. He was just going to can Eberflus before the night was over. And then that would be the storylines tomorrow in Chicago would be, hey, we finally got rid of Eberflus. Nobody would be talking about the game getting blown out. They'd be celebrating the fact that Eberflus got fired. And instead, they lost in heartbreaking fashion and they're stuck with the same coach.
Do you want to, I mean, I don't know if we can, but I have a 670 The Score caller that they posted already. That's a minute long clip.
Yeah, okay, record it and then we'll play.
Yeah,
we'll do that coming up next.
Let's do that.
Always fun. So we'll hear from an angry Bears fan, I'm sure. That is coming up next, and we'll hear from Packers quarterback Jordan Love. It is the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Still room for you if you want to get on board. Here, dial it up or text Nicolay Law Fan and Talk and text line 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250.
All I want to know if you got got your popcorn ready.
Who was the most valuable player for Green Bay today?
On three. One, two, three.
Who stood out the most?
Here we go!
It's time to announce the MVP of the game on the Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on The Fan.
Tigers get the win, 20-19. Not quite sure that it could be anybody other than one guy at this point. I mean, maybe I'm missing somebody, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody. I have no idea which way you want to look at this. But for me, it can only be one guy, and that is Carl Brooks, right? I mean, he blocks the potential game-winning field goal to win it for the Packers. Can it be anybody else, Tommy?
Christian Watson.
150 yards.
Wouldn't be a bad one.
Yeah? 150 yards receiving for him.
But I think those are the only two. Category of their own today.
Which way do you vote?
I mean, you got to go Carl Brooks. But if we put a poll up, Christian Watson would be the other option.
Yeah, I agree. Love it. Oh, it's so good. Kevin Burkhardt is just amazing. That is such a great call. Nothing for Brady. Nothing for Brady at all. But that was great. I just loved it so much. Packers get the win and everybody's excited. All right. Not everybody is excited, however. There are some in Chicago that are not as excited as we are, broadcasting from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Our guy, Cullen, in Northfield, called in a 670 to score. Can you imagine the people calling into that station right now melting down? Every person calling in is melting down, I'd assume. This is Cullen.
Cullen, you're on the post-game show.
Hey, guys. I appreciate all the notes from one of the best long snappers of all time. I appreciate what Owen's saying. Guys, I'm hoarse, and I haven't yelled all year because I expected to lose some games. This is beyond because it was arrogance from a loser coach who has no business in that position.
See?
He should have been out of here.
Yeah.
Finding a way to not use the time to get a little closer for this team against the Packers. And I don't even care if we had lost both games against the Packers, but the way we're losing, it shows me that there's arrogance in this moron. And that combination is awful. It's inexcusable. And we got to move on from this guy. He is not the answer. He won't be. I'd love to see them break tradition and get rid of him now. It's not going to happen. It makes me sick to my stomach, to my core, and it drives me nuts. I'm done. That's it.
Can I just say something? That was Colin in Northfield on the score down in Chicago, our sister station. Can I just argue against his arrogant take of Eberflus for a second? Because I think I would be on the other side of that if I was hosting a show in Chicago today. I don't think it's that. I think it was he was scared of turning the ball over when they were in field goal position by running another play. Even if you're saying, man, just hand it off to DeAndre Swift. Well, what happens if he fumbles? Then this guy, Cullen, is calling in. What are you doing? You have the game-winning field goal. Why are you running another play and turning it over? That would be the take. So in this situation here, I think Eberflus was stuck. Yes, I agree. He should have ran another play. I get it. But I don't think it was an arrogance thing. I think he was more concerned about something going wrong, like it has been most of the season for this team, and then them coming back and blaming him for running an extra play, Tommy.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose, for sure. I agree with your take that it's definitely more scared and timid than arrogance, I think, from Matt LaFleur, or from Matt Eberflus, rather. I just don't. You can tell that they're so sick of Matt Eberflus in Chicago.
Yep.
They want him gone. It's his 30th loss in 44 games as the Bears head coach right now. So you would love to see is it after Thanksgiving? Is that why they call it Black Monday, right, or Black Tuesday for the coaches?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Do you think there's any shot he's going to keep his job the entire year?
No. No, I don't think he'll keep his job the entire year. No, that Monday you're talking about is at the end of the season, I believe, is when the first Monday after the last regular season game.
Okay. I thought there was a mid-season one, too, right? Where they kind of were like...
If there is, I don't know it.
Okay.
But maybe it is after Thanksgiving because of
the whole Friday sales and everything the day after. By the way, day after Thanksgiving, all of our shows will be local and live. That day after the Packers play the Dolphins, we'll have our post-game show Thanksgiving night with Tommy Wirtz and myself as well. But before we get to that point, we have to get to the Niners game, whatever it is, a 3:25 start, whatever time it is, next week in San Francisco. It's the second game. But that will be one thing. And then four primetime games in a row. I think Eberflus, there's going to have to be something embarrassing that happens for them to fire him. Call up the Bears schedule real quick. Let's see what they look like. And I'll tell you.
It is brutal.
Okay, so here. I'm going to give you an example of how I think he could get fired. If the Packers would have blown him out today, I think he could have gotten fired.
Okay.
I believe they have the Lions still coming. Is that next week?
This is their schedule right here. I got it. So next week, it's a noon game against Minnesota in Chicago.
Then he won't get fired after that.
There is a Bears-Lions the week after.
Where is
in
that?
Detroit.
Okay.
And that's Thanksgiving.
Okay. This is how it happens. If the Lions do to them what they did to the Jaguars today,
He's
fired before they get on the plane in Detroit. The Lions threw up 52 points. They scored on the first seven possessions, I want to say,
just
of the game.
Just toying with them the entire game.
Yeah. I believe they were 7-for-7 with touchdowns on the first seven drives of the game. 52-6 they beat them. If the Lions go and embarrass the Bears like that on Thanksgiving in front of the world to see, he's fired before he gets on the plane, and he may have to hitch a ride back with somebody else other than the Bears Airlines.
I think if I'm looking at this correctly, they have four wins on the year, right? So they go Vikings, Lions, Niners the next 3 weeks.
Three losses, probably.
And then it's Vikings, Lions, Seahawks, Packers. They're next after that.
They may not win another game.
I
mean, the Vikings are probably the most winnable games they have are the Vikings.
Well, I think they'd probably say Green Bay now.
No.
In Chicago.
Nah. That's going to be at the end of the year, though.
Correct.
Yeah, no. Because by the time, hey, listen, if they lose the rest of their games and the Packers are the last game of the season, they will have long checked out by that point. You'll have guys with a bruised finger saying they can't play in that game because they want to get on with their vacation and be done with the regular season. I mean, that team is going to be completely checked out and gone. There won't be anybody playing other than second and third stringers by that point if they don't win another game between now and the Packer game.
Their four wins this year, Titans, Panthers, Jaguars, Rams.
Rams are the only decent team.
And the Rams were also banged up, I believe.
Yeah,
that
they didn't have Puka,
Puka or Cooper Kupp in the game.
Right, correct. So again, I mean, we talk about the Packers wins, but the Bears also don't have wins. And we knew going in that the second half of the schedule was going to be brutal for the Bears. The schedule would have started, if their second half would have been their first half, they may not have won a game yet. Or
yeah.
Might maybe have one win at this point. That might be it. And Eberflus already would have been fired. But because you started off with more of a cupcake-style schedule, you build some confidence in the offense, which is fine. But then when you get tougher competition, you realize just how bad this offense truly is. And then you get the offensive coordinator fired. Did you hear about Caleb Williams? He apologized to his teammates in a meeting this week for getting the offensive coordinator fired.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's been a month since they put up over 20 points in a game.
Mm. That is not good. Jordan Love talked after the Packers' 20-19 victory, highlighted by a Carl Brooks block kick. Love himself had a touchdown pass. Had a interception at the goal line, a ball that he sailed over the receiver's head. Was that Tucker Kraft? I think he threw it over his head?
Yes.
Way over his head and was picked off. That led to a Bears score on the other side of the field coming off that interception. So those are the highlights. Here's Jordan Love. Can we stop it right there? I'll continue to play this. There was nobody there. Right. So we don't force it. We don't turn over the ball in the end zone. There's nothing there. We run out of bounds. We do live to fight another day. Or we throw it out of bounds. We live to fight another day. Right? That's all you want to see out of Jordan Love. That's it. Now, that one deep ball to Christian Watson that was double covered, you can have your conversation about whether or not that was a good decision or not. Outside of that, were there any other bad decisions? I think that was it. Right? Was there another one that I'm not missing, Tommy?
No, it didn't feel like he was putting the ball in danger a whole lot today.
I thought he played. Now, again, that was a physical errant throw. That wasn't a bad decision. The guy was wide open, and he just made a bad throw.
Yes, bad throw.
I can live with that. I'm fine with that. The ones I can't live with is when you're being flung to the ground and you're throwing it sidearm as you're going down. That's the type of stuff I can't live with.
Right.
Right? You're getting dragged down, and you just throw it up to see what happens. or throw it across your body like you did against the Niners. You know, you're throwing errant pass once in a while. That's fine. You're human. It's going to happen. Moving on, Jordan Love.
Absolutely right. That I agree with 100%. There's Jordan Love talking after the game today. Another guy that we have to hear from at least a little bit, Brenton Cox on Fox 6. This was with who? Tim Van Voren, right?
Yep.
Check this out. It is always a good feeling. There is Brenton Cox. That'll do it for today's show. Green Bay Football Postgame Show, driven by Young Express. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Tommy Wirtz, other side of the glass, as we've been broadcasting from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Packer, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Packers get the victory, 20-19. The day begins tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. with the Pack-A-Day Radio Show with Andy Herman. Then it's Mason Crosby and Mitch Thunder-Nellis from 9 to 11. And, of course, Wisconsin Sports Daily served up by Wendy's 2 to 5. Enjoy the rest of your night. Have a good one. Toodles.